Good morning. It is definitely good to be back. I've definitely missed seeing you guys regularly, and so it has been, I've missed it a lot. I've missed everybody a lot, and so it's definitely really good to be back, and at the same time, it's really hard to be back also and to be here. The last 3 months have been it's been a lot. It's been a lot of ups. It's been a lot of downs. It's been a lot of back and forth. There's been a lot of times of joy and celebration. There's been a lot of times of a lot more tears than I thought I had. And it's been a lot. Looking around, I think everybody in here knows where I'm coming from, but I feel like I should say something just in case, because otherwise this is going to be the most confusing next half hour ever. So for Joy and I, we had our son Beckham 3 months ago on August 12th, and so then the next day he went to the NICU at Children's Hospital, and so he's been there ever since, and he's still there right now, and we're hoping maybe by Christmas. Sounds like a possible time to come home. I'll be honest, I've kind of gone back and forth a lot about when I knew I was going to be speaking, whether I should kind of focus it and base it around kind of things that have been going on, and I decided that if I don't, it's probably going to kind of happen anyway, and so I feel like it makes more sense for it to come out in a semi-organized way instead of just coming out and not making any sense. And so that's kind of where I'll be coming from a lot today. This is also an opportunity for me to say that I am just to share how thankful, and I'm speaking for both Joy and myself, that how thankful we are for everybody here, and how extremely blessed we are for our church family here. I'll be honest, until now, we had no idea how loved we were by this church family. Saying thank you is definitely not enough. I'm not sure how else to say it, though. It's been an incredible experience just seeing the amount of love and support that's come from these people here. And if I were to try going through and saying thank you for the number of things, there would be no way. And so just know how incredibly grateful we are for you guys and how thankful for we are that God has blessed us with a church family like we have here at Reynoldsburg. From things, taking care of things here at church, taking care of things at our house, taking care of things at the hospital, just everything. So thank you more than you will ever know. Joy and I definitely wanted to make that known, if nothing else. This is also kind of a way for me to say, hello, we are still alive, and we're here. And so it's kind of like a welcome back and saying that we are here and committed and that we love you guys. To be honest, I do have some notes that I'm going by today, but at the same time, it might be a little bit of a surprise for me as much as it is for you, because I do have a lot of open space too and where I'm going. And I guess if nothing else, I'm hoping that today doesn't sound as disoriented as I feel, maybe. And maybe if nothing else, my goal is that this makes sense, which I feel like is an okay goal for a sermon, to make some kind of sense that people can understand what's going on. But if I had to give kind of a general idea of where we're going today, some of the things we'll be talking about, some of the things that I wanted to share, this is kind of like maybe what happens when you're on a journey heading to Detroit and you end up in Albuquerque. And along the way, there's a lot of things that happen. And so this is about a journey, to be honest. This is a journey that doesn't necessarily go the way that you had planned. This is a journey that along the way, there's a lot of really cool things that happen on the road. And at the same time, there's a lot of scary things that happen on the road. There's a lot of really great things that we see along our journeys, and at the same time, there's a lot of not so great things that happen along some of these journeys. And so along this journey, though, there are things that I would say that I've come to. I don't know that I would say I understand anything any more than I did before. There's a lot of things I probably understand a whole lot less than I did before. Overall, I see things in a completely different way. So maybe I understand things in a different way. Maybe I can just say that I understand things differently than I did before. And I truly believe, though, that along this journey and the way that I see things, I'm now more and more convinced of a God who makes new things and makes beautiful things out of dust. And we sing a song like that, but I'm more convinced of a God who does that. A God who takes sometimes chaos and makes something new and beautiful out of it. On my office door upstairs, I have a fortune cookie fortune that says, out of chaos come new patterns. And that's because I believe that is a biblical truth of what God has done since the very beginning and that he does in our lives today. So things that I understand in a new way, this is everything, but I'm going to start with maybe just some lyrics. And so I've got these up here with some lyrics that I would say that here's some songs that I have that I've loved before this point. So these are some songs that I've loved and appreciated and I've understood, but now maybe understand in a different way. And so this first one that I'm sure a lot of you know, you're a good, good father. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. And this kind of goes then with this next one. It says, near, still near, close to thy heart. These two in particular are really special to me because these are probably the two songs that I have sang most to Beckham in the times that have been holding him, and that's been since day three or so that I would sing these songs. And I think I understand them differently now. Because when I sing these songs, I think that I have a goal to be a good father. I have a goal that, as I'm able to, that I hold him close to me, that I hold him and I've rocked him and I've sung to him. And at the same time, I remember one day specifically that I told him, I was like, I'm going to be the best that I can. I'm going to do for you everything that I can. And I said, there may come a day, though, that I'm limited, though. And I understand that I'm limited. And so there's going to be a time when I can only do so much. I can't heal you. I can't make these things happen. And so I'm then going to pass you on to a good, good father. And a God that as I hold him close, that he's been holding me close and holding me near. And when I can't do it anymore, I know that there's a God there who can do that. And he's a father much greater than I am and a father who can do incredible things. So I remember saying that to Beckham and passing that on, saying that I can go this far and then it's up to your Father in heaven and the things that he can do. Okay, so moving on from there, these next ones won't be quite as bad. So the next one is lyrics that I'm sure a lot of you know again, that who can say if I've been changed for the better, but because I knew you, I've been changed for good. And this kind of comes from, I remember the first, probably day two or three, I remember telling Joy because we didn't know what we, at this time, they still weren't expecting him to make it. And I remember thinking that if no matter what, that my life has been changed already at this point, and this was day two or three. I can't say if it's been changed for the better, but I know that it has been changed forever. And I'm kind of still there. I know that I've been changed. And what that looks like, I don't know. Do I believe it will be better? Yes. Am I there yet? Probably not, but I know that I've been changed forever. This next one says, right now I need a miracle. Hurry up now, I need a miracle. Stranded, reaching out, I call your name, but you're not around. And I feel like that one kind of speaks for itself sometimes. And so, and then there's another one that I will, I'm actually going to play for you later. I'm not going to talk about the lyrics now. I'm just going to play the whole lyric video. And it's kind of been a song that has been powerful for us over these last couple of months. And so I'm going to play that song for you a little bit later on this morning. But it's not just been lyrics. You know, there's, I said that I see things differently all over. So songs, yes, but so many other things too. And so that includes scriptures. And so I have some specific scriptures that I kind of pulled out that I'd say, I understood these before, these were special to me before, but now there's even something more incredible about them. And so I would say the Psalms are one in general. I didn't put anything up here because as I started to go through the Psalms and decide what are some that really stick out to me and I would say are really special to me, and I realized we probably don't have time to read 75 Psalms all the way through this morning. And so I didn't put any up there, but just overall reading through them, and the one, Psalm 3 that Dion mentioned today would be one from the song we just sang. But overall, just looking through them, I've come to appreciate even more just the openness of the psalmist, the willingness and the vulnerability that just mean a lot to me. And so reading through them, and it's everywhere. Like every psalm is filled with that. And they're very different from each other, but they're still that they're open. He's willing, and he's just being vulnerable before his God. But I do have some others. And so this one, in 2 Corinthians, I said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. And this one I feel like has really come to speak to me because through, again, like I've said, through all of the chaos that we've experienced recently, we have seen that through our times where we're at our weakest and we are really struggling, through those times we have seen God do amazing things, and his power has been made stronger in the moments where we're weakest. And we've seen so many great things happen around us, and relationships that we've made, people's lives that have been touched because of Beckham's story. When he's at his weakest, we're at our weakest, God has done something great and powerful and amazing for a lot of other people. And so I feel like Beckham's life of only 3 months has been, I feel like he's made a huge difference because of the power of God, not because of anything that we've done or anything that we could do, but because of the power of God in our very weakest time. The next one is also by Paul. He says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And this was especially true those first few days. I remember the first morning after going to Children's overnight. I'd slept for about 45 minutes and got woken up by the doctor with bad news that they weren't, that it wasn't looking good. And I prayed a lot. Maybe not necessarily with words because I didn't know what to say. Maybe plenty of sounds, maybe plenty of heart, but I didn't know what to say. And so I feel like this all of a sudden made a whole lot of sense for me. I was praying deeply to God, even when I didn't know what words to use. This next one comes from the Gospel of Matthew. And he's talking about Peter here, the story where Peter goes out to walk onto the water with Jesus, who's walking on water. He says, Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. And this has been a verse that's meant a lot to me throughout my lifetime, especially I would say my time here at Reynoldsburg. And maybe even more so, maybe not more so, but in a different way, a more complete way, I think at this point. It's a really powerful story when you really think about it. And this last one I'm gonna talk about is from Daniel, I think chapter 3. And this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before they, at this moment where they're at this point where Nebuchadnezzar is asking them to bow down to the statue. It's 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, and he's saying, bow down or you're being thrown into this fire. And so they're at this point where he's threatening them, and their response is, the God that we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand, but even if he does not. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, even if he does not. We know that he can and we know that he will, but even if he does not. And I think that that's a really powerful statement. It reminds me a lot of Jesus in the garden before he's about to be crucified. And he says this prayer, he asks God to take this cup from me. He says, I don't want to do this. Take this away from me if there's any other way. And then he moves on and says, not my will, but yours. I can think specifically of this time, and I remember the words exactly. This was kind of a few weeks in, and so Beckham was a little bit more stable, but at this point, we kind of also started praying that his kidneys would be healed. And we were praying hard that his kidneys were going to be healed. And I remember somebody, I won't say who it was, but I remember somebody, she came and she was praying with us. And her exact words were, we know that you can heal Beckham. You are more than able. And so I held on to that. Like I held on to that phrase that we know that you can and you are more than able. And so through all my prayers that even when the doctors were saying it's not looking like they are, it's not looking like his kidneys are coming back, and I would still hold on to that. And I prayed, despite that evidence, I prayed that he would heal them. And we get then to this point where it's obvious that they're not coming back. And I remember sitting with Joy in the cafeteria late at night one time and just started crying. And it was tears of, I was sad, I was angry, I was confused. And I remember thinking that if he can, because I believe that he can, then why won't he? He can, and why won't he? So I'm going to come back to this, but just keep in mind that tension, that ache, I would say, that we see in Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they say that we believe that he can, even if he doesn't, though. And Jesus saying, take this away from me, but it's not my will, it's your will. And then what I've just expressed, and I think that what a lot of us have experienced, this idea of, I know you can, and why not, though? And so just hold on to that tension. This idea that we know that you are a good God and a great God and a capable God, and even if you don't. And I emphasize and I'm going to be emphasizing the word and a lot this morning. And there's a reason for that. And so I'm talking a little bit about dialectics, which I'm sure a lot of you have heard about because it comes up in business, it comes up in engineering, it comes up in a whole lot of things. Marshall Linehan talks about it specifically from this, from a behavior and emotion kind of standpoint, this idea of dialectics. And it's this idea of the difference between but and. When we say but, we're saying that something doesn't count. And we all have heard that idea that, I mean, we say but, and you kind of forget everything that happens before, right? It invalidates what we just said and says that this is actually what's true, and this over here, and not. And so it's the difference between saying, it's a beautiful day outside, but it's cold. And it kind of says, well, for those of you who thought it was a beautiful day, sorry, it's just cold. Or the other way around, it's cold, but it's a beautiful day. It sounds like it's a beautiful day, but if you're outside and you're homeless, then it's still cold, and we're invalidating that. But if you say it is a beautiful day and it's cold outside, or it's cold and it's a beautiful day, it seems little, but it makes a big difference. And so I'm going to be emphasizing and, because I think that and makes a really big difference in saying that these are both true. So let's go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego real quick. And what I'm about to talk about, I also spoke about this a little bit in the spring for the graduation Sunday that we had for our seniors. So I'm just doing a brief kind of recap of that because I think it fits really well into this. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I would say that there's a lot of people in Scripture that have faith. There's a lot of examples of true faith. I would say, if anybody, that these three guys really know what faith is, though. They literally had their feet to the fire, and they still believed in God. And I wonder if a couple of chapters before this, we have a picture of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who are standing up for their faith, saying that I'm not going to eat that, I'm not going to drink that because I shouldn't. Even though seemingly that's kind of a small thing, right? I mean, I don't think anybody would have cared. But for them, that was part of building their faith that I'm not eating that, I'm not drinking that. And I wonder if they had not stood up for their faith in that moment a couple of chapters before, if when they get to this point and they're faced with standing up in front of this huge statue, if they would have been able to do it. Or if it was that experience and those experiences that they had of building up their faith bit by bit and piece by piece and saying, no, I'm building my faith here so that when I get to this point, I'm able to stand. I wonder if they would have been able to do that if they hadn't had those experiences before, those hard, difficult, painful experiences. I've also got a few other people up here we're going to talk about. So I've got these three guys here. I'm going to speak about them. We're not going to read specifically directly from here, but so we've got Abraham, Noah, and David. Think about Abraham first. The fact that he's asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, who he had waited a long time for and he was promised to him, I can't imagine what that experience was like. But I do think that as he went up that mountain, I have to think that every step by step up that mountain had to be painful for Abraham. Knowing what was coming, knowing where he was heading, those steps had to be so difficult for him. And then he gets to the point where he has to make the altar to sacrifice his son on, which again, I can't imagine that pain, but I think that with each stone that he places, each stone of pain that he places to build this altar, with each stone, with each peace, with each pain, he's building his faith. And ultimately we know that God saves Isaac too, but that experience, I think, set into motion a lot for Abraham and his lineage and opening up that story of the relationship of Israel and God. But it was stone by stone, pain by pain, piece by piece. So then we have Noah also. Noah, and talking about building this ark for this flood, and I have to imagine that this was a painful experience for him too, knowing that destruction that was coming. And so as he's spending literally a lifetime for us building this ark, with every board that he places on there, with every slap of tar that he puts on there, I have to think that he's building his faith as he builds this huge boat. He's building it piece by piece, and it's got to be a painful experience for him. But it's through that he has the faith to go through it with it. David also, who eventually becomes this great king. But before that, he's faced with the giant. He's faced with Goliath standing in front of him. And I can't imagine the fear he had to be experiencing when he realizes this armor doesn't fit. I can't carry this sword. I don't have anything going into this. And so he goes out and he collects his little rocks and he puts them in his pouch. And I have to think that with each rock that he picks up and he puts in there, that he is building his faith despite the incredible amount of fear that he had to be experiencing. He's building his faith as he collects these rocks. He's collecting it, even though it's a painful experience for him. And so I think that for us, it's a similar thing in our life, right? That for us as people, that it's sometimes pain by pain, sometimes peace by peace, that our faith is built and gets us to a point where we are today and where we will be, which will be different tomorrow and 5 years from now and 20 years from now. It's these pieces of pain that I think where we find new hope. These pieces of pain is where hope is found. And with pain, I think, comes an opportunity that piece by piece, our hope is built. And we're not alone. I think if nothing else, don't think we're ever alone, just because sometimes we feel like it. Sometimes we feel like we can't make it. It's not possible to get through this. And this is just too much and it's too painful. But know, if nothing else, know that we're not alone in this. I think that God infuses life into us when we need it most. And I'm sure that you've all experienced that as well. This moment where you just feel like, I can't go anymore. I can't do anything else. I can't go one step farther. And God gives you what you need in that moment. I can say that's been experienced for me throughout my lifetime. I'd say it's especially been true these last 7 years here, and even more so over the last few months, for us, that when we need it most, God gives us what we need. And so sometimes that's been on one of those worst days at the hospital, a visitor that comes in and says the right thing. Or we know that it's going to be a really bad day for Beckham, it's going to be hard, and he gives us the right nurse that we needed that day specifically. And he gives us what we need, and he infuses life into us through the people around us, through the experiences that we have. He makes sure that we're taken care of. And so while I've been thinking a lot about this, I've been thinking a lot about the word. In Hebrew is ruah, and in Greek is pneuma, this idea that for us it's translated as either wind or breath or spirit. And when I think about that, and I've been thinking a lot about that recently, I go back to the very beginning of creation where it says that God breathed life into humankind, and he breathed into them his spirit in a way. It's that same word, that he gave breath, he gave life, he gave spirit. And then I think about also the genesis of the church and Acts, and you've got the spirit that blows through like a wind. And it's, again, it's God's breath giving them what they need. And you know the story of how the church blew up at that point and spread all over the world because of the Spirit of God being infused when it was needed most. The Spirit of God was blown in like a wind. It was the breath of God. It was the Spirit. And I think that for us, when we get to that point where we are running low, because I believe that I've been given the Spirit of God. I think that we're given that. I think that the breath of God is given to us. And I think that the Spirit of God as believers is something that we live through and live with, and it lives inside of us. I think that his Spirit is given to us like his breath was at the very beginning. And so I think about, we have these phrases like winds of change or a breath of fresh air. And I wonder if that's maybe more true than we realize. That when something is bad in there and we need a change, we need something new, that God does give us something new, his ruah, that pneuma, that wind, that breath, that spirit. And so maybe the times where we are running low on oxygen, right? And we've all been there, those times where we feel like we're just out of oxygen, we can't go anymore, that God gives us that breath as we need it most. Out of the mouth of God comes that breath, comes that wind, comes that spirit. Also out of the mouth of God comes his word. And I think that the word includes the scripture that we have, and I think that the word of God is something much greater too, because I think the word of God was Jesus, as we see in John, the word of God. And the word of God also flows out of his mouth. And it's right when we need it most that God speaks. And God speaks newness. And God speaks hope. And I think that this is the case throughout, no matter what kind of experience we're having at the time, no matter our emotions or our thoughts. Because I can say for me that I've had run the spectrum of emotions and thoughts, and how God has spoken through that. For example, some thoughts that have really been on my mind a lot recently kind of come from different experiences. For example, I've been continuing to go to class these last few months, and there's been times that we have to time it to where we know I'm about to leave, and so I time it to where we know that they're going to have to do some kind of test, and so they're about to get a whole lot of blood from Beckham, and he's given so much that he's kind of running out of spaces where they can take the blood from him. And there's not a worse experience than knowing that they have to do this, and you have to leave, and you're walking down the hallway, and you get like halfway down the hall, and you hear him screaming. It makes you feel terrible for leaving. Or sometimes they do these interventions or tests or things at night. So like 4 o'clock in the morning seems to be like the magic hour for him. And so we're at home and we're sleeping. And part of that feels good, knowing that you don't have to be there to experience it. Part of it also makes you feel like a terrible parent. But it's worse when all of a sudden you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you know what's going on. And so those experiences make me sad. If I were just to put a basic emotion on it, it makes me sad. I hate that he gets poked. I hate that he gets hurt. And I am proud that he has been such a fighter so far. I'm grateful for the progress that's been made, and I'm heartbroken that he's not allowed to develop at his potential pace. I'm hopeful that we may be at home soon, and I'm terrified of the responsibility of these extra hours a day just for medical care that we have to do. I hate the idea that every morning the first thing he sees and every night before going to bed that we'll be wearing masks to get him hooked up, and I hate that. And I'm determined to love him and care for him no matter what it takes. We have such a long way to go, and we have come so far already with a very faithful God. It's been hard, and it is hard, and I hate a lot of it. And we have hope because we trust, and we trust because we have a God who is faithful to the end. So like I said before, that one shift in our perspective that I would say has been huge for us and made a really big difference is that vocabulary of and instead of but. But says, this is not what I had hoped or planned, but I'm still going to trust in you. Which doesn't sound that bad, but I think there's a difference, because this is not what I had hoped or planned, but I'm still going to trust in you. Kind of says, it doesn't matter, that's not what you had hoped or planned. But and says, this is not what I'd hoped or planned, and I trust you. And I think it's okay that we have both. And says that it's okay on both ends. And being okay on both ends doesn't mean that I have to like it. It doesn't mean that I have to agree with it. It doesn't mean that I'm okay with it, but it says that it's okay that both are true and both are occurring. And sometimes that means that it's really messy. And I think that trust requires presence. And presence means that you're present and staying in the mess, staying in the yuck, staying in the hurts, and not escaping. I think we live in a society that likes to escape. We live in a society that likes to say, I don't want to get to that point because I know that's going to hurt and that's going to be uncomfortable, and I don't want that. And so we try to escape it before we get to that point so that we don't have to experience it. We do a whole lot to try to forget stuff that's been hurtful in the past and try to push it out instead of sitting with it and being okay with, that's a part of who I am and that's a part of my past. We don't like to sit in mess. We like to escape. And so it's easy for me to start wanting to wish away the next 3 years, which is around that time. He'll be on dialysis for the next 3 or so years, getting to a point to where he can have a kidney transplant. And it's really easy for me to want to wish away those 3 years and get to that point so that I know things are at least a little bit better, a little bit safer, a little bit more okay for me. And not just that, though. It's easy for me to wish away different milestones, wish away time so that I can get to the point where, is he going to talk? Is he going to be able to crawl? Is he going to be able to walk? Is he going to be okay when he gets to kindergarten and starts doing things in school? Is he going to be able to learn algebra or biology? Is he going to be able to go to college? Is he going to be able to get married? Are we ever going to have grandkids? And it's easy to want to wish away these moments so that we know for sure. so that I can be certain. Instead of just sitting in the unknown, sitting in the mess, sitting in the uncomfortable stuff. And looking back, if we really think about all the what ifs, what if we did this, what if this, what if this, or why this, why this, why this, those what ifs and those whys can drive you crazy. And so for Joy and I, we've been forced to practice mindfulness, this idea of just being able to experience that here's where we are, here's what's going on, and experiencing that. I don't want to wish away his life. I want to experience the ups and the downs and the good and the bad and the stuff that is great and we're celebrating and the stuff that I don't like. I want to be here and present. So we've chosen to stay in the here, in the now. And that causes me to think a lot about our story of Moses that we know of. After he's already left Egypt once and he's out tending sheep, and there's the burning bush scenario, right? And I think that for Moses, that the what ifs and the whys probably had to be going through his mind sometimes. You know, what if I had done something differently? Why did I do this? What if I were still back in Egypt and things were great and I was set? And now I'm out here with sheep in a field. He had to have a lot of what ifs and whys at times. He also had to be thinking about, like, what about this day in the future when I cannot be hanging out with these sheep all day? What if I get to this point where there's, I'm assuming he had bigger, greater things that he wanted to do. And so it'd be easy to not be, to want to escape the what if back here. And well, how about this future goal instead of just being present with the sheep? And if he hadn't been present, I wonder if he would have noticed that burning bush. If he had been thinking about what if, or I can't wait until, would he have even noticed the burning bush? And since he did, and he was present, because I truly believe that in all things, God is always present. I don't think that's ever a question. I think it's always a question of, are we present? God is always there, but are we always there with him? Because for Moses, because of that, because of that experience with God, he was blessed from that point forward. His life was blessed, and his life was changed completely. And he saw the blessings from that. And I would say that Joy and I have experienced that same thing, that because of sometimes in those moments where we're just there and we're just taking it moment by moment, not even day by day, but just minute by minute, those are the times that where we have seen God do amazing things and blessings through Beckham's life and other people's lives and our lives, because we're just there to experience it and we're okay with it. And we're saying that it's okay to be here and in this moment, even though it's really uncomfortable. And so we trust God step by step, piece by piece. We're here and now in the moment, and we trust. But trust doesn't always mean that we get what we want, right? Trust doesn't mean that I'm trusting you and so I know this is gonna happen. Trust doesn't mean we always get what we want. You remember that tension that I talked about? Of we know that you can, we know that you will, and even if you don't. So that raises the question of how do we deal with unanswered prayer? And I think that that's a question that a lot of people have. How do we deal with those unanswered prayers? My easy answer is, I have no idea. I don't know. I'm not sure what we do with that. What do we do when... So for us, why is it that God has chosen to save Beckham's life, but the baby next door to us not? Was it because we had more prayers for Beckham than that baby? I don't think that that's the way to look at it. Or why is it that down the hall, the baby was healed of what's going on with them, and Beckham's kidneys aren't healed, his brain's not healed, blood disorder, it's not gone. There's, what do we do with that? Why is it that God chooses yes here and no here, no here and yes there? I don't know. Because I do believe in a God who is good. I believe in a God who is great. And that takes faith. And I think that through that faith, I've been recreated to newness and to a new experience with God. I think, again, looking back to creation, I don't think that creation was completed in 6 days as much as it was just beginning of an ongoing process of new creation. So maybe prayer is simply tapping into the creative power of God, the God of creation, the God who is good, the God who is great. And he continues creating through us. He continues to use our lives. He continues to use our journeys, our pain, and the good stuff and the bad stuff. He continues to use that and create newness from that. He created in the very beginning, and he continues to create today through our journey. And it's newness, and it's hope. And I think that through this experience, through this journey, through these pieces, that my faith is built to be at least the size of a mustard seed, maybe. And Jesus says that when you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that God will move mountains, right? I believe that God can move mountains. And I believe that sometimes he doesn't. And when we look at it that way, there's still a whole lot of uncertainty. There's a whole lot of unknowns. There's a whole lot of non-answers. But don't for a minute think that that means we're abandoned. Because I think that sometimes it's this journey, the journey that maybe the mountain's still there and it hasn't been moved. And so maybe it's that journey over the mountain or through the mountain or whatever it takes to get beyond this mountain, no matter how difficult and painful and seemingly impossible it is sometimes, maybe it's through that journey that we find an opportunity for a brand new experience with God, an experience with God that we've never had before, an experience that's completely different than what we had perceived of God before. I'm about to play the song that I mentioned that I play. It's called Trust in You by Lauren Daigle. First time I heard it, well, it was the first time that I'd gone back to the house since we were at the hospital by myself. And I made the mistake of going into Beckham's room when I was by myself that first week or two. And again, I was bawling, sadness, anger, fear, all of it. So finally decided, okay, I gotta get out of here. And so I get in the car and go back to the hospital, got the stuff I needed, and once I get on the interstate, I turn on the radio, and the first song that comes on after the commercials was this one that I'm about to play, and again, started crying, which is never good when you're driving. And this song has come on a lot in the time that we've been traveling back and forth to the hospital. This song has come around and around, and every time I hear it, I cry because I think that it speaks, probably says a whole lot better in 3 minutes what I've been trying to say and however long I've been up here. So just listen to the song. It's a lyric video. 3 minutes. Just take a listen to the song.
Letting go of every single tomorrow. There's not a day ahead.
So where are we now? I'd say in moments we're still broken. And we have hope in the newness of a good and great God who I trust in and who we believe is doing and will continue to do great and powerful and good, beautiful things. I'm certain that there are others in here hurting as much and more than us. And so one, I hope that you... I'm not necessarily trying to speak for everybody because I don't think that I can. I think that maybe, hopefully, something I've said does resonate and make sense in your experience. But for those who have experienced far greater pains, I'm not saying that I'm necessarily representing everybody and the pain that they've experienced. And at the same time, I hope that it has been somewhat beneficial in seeing that it's okay to hurt and know this, no matter where you are, no matter where you've been, know this, that it is okay to hurt. It's okay to hate the mess. And it's within the mess that God makes new things. And I do believe that. And so we're about to sing a song about a father who loves deeply, a father who understands us, so praise team can come up. We're about to sing about a God who is good and loves and understands deeply. And we can boast in the newness of Jesus. No matter where we are, we can boast in that one thing that God, through his son Jesus, has done new and great things, and he continues to recreate us and continues through his blood to give us new life. And so as we sing, may you experience God in a new way, in a way that you never have before. May you be in this moment as we sing the song and recognize that God, recognize where his burning bushes are, recognize where he has called you, recognize that even if where you are now is not where you want to be, that he's there and he's present all the time and he has hope for you. So as we stand and we sing the song, may you experience him in a way that you never have before. Let's stand and sing.